We are now a week and change away from this year's Super Bowl juicy matchup. The Niners, the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a whole lot of moving and shaking going on right now in the desert. And to get a sense on where the money's moving, what to look for as far as strategies with the props, the Super Bowl, the tournament that's coming up, Arthur Caesar, who you can check out at the link. He's one of the head odds makers. He joins us here on this Friday. Art, what's happening, bro? How are you, man?
I'm doing good, JJ. Pleasure to be here. Can't wait to get this going.
All right, you ain't kidding. And I'm curious, did you guys take a beating last week? Because I said on the air, I thought it was the sucker of all suckers to throw in a two-team tease with the Niners and the Kansas City Chiefs. I just figured that was almost too good to be true. I got to get the sense a lot of people probably threw that into a tease. So was it a rough weekend for the books?
Oh, JJ, absolutely. But, you know, you got to remember this, too. Obviously, teasers aside, parlays aside, when both favorites and both overs go, you're in for trouble. I mean, it's going to be a public day. Public bets favorites, public bets overs. So it was a rough day for the house, for sure.
I can understand that. And do you get the sense, especially in the big games, it's one thing if we're going through a football Sunday or a college football Saturday, but I'm talking playoff games, AFC and NFC championship, Super Bowl. Don't you get the sense the public, when in doubt, just wants to bet the over?
Oh, JJ, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Thursday night, week six, people take the over. People want to root for points. People are into their fantasy teams. You know, points are all the rage. But I agree. I mean, when you have these standalone games, people really don't want to see a 13-10 game. They just don't. People want to root for 35-28. And, I mean, overs are always going to be the way it is. And, I mean, people are just looking for, hey, let me bet the over.
Okay, all right, let's get to this game now. You have the two best teams, I think, that are left playing. Kansas City, who's been dominant in the AFC, the best player in the sport in Patrick Mahomes. And on the flip side, you have a Niner team that's just pounded people defensively. Initially, what did you think the line was going to be? And when you were sitting there Sunday night, well, forget about where the money's going. Forget about where it is right now. When you're sitting down and watching those two games, first Kansas City, then the Niners, what was your initial Super Bowl line?
Initially, I thought it would be a pick'em. I just felt, like you said, these are basically the best two teams in the sport. And then, you know, we always factor in the California thing because we're always going to get so many Niner people coming in from California. So I thought it would initially be a pick'em. Total, you know, it was probably right around where I thought it would be. We opened it at 51. So I kind of felt it would be around there. But, yeah, I was thinking pick 'em.
Okay, so you were thinking pick 'em. Now you're seeing the line anywhere from 1 to 2. In fact, what do you guys have it at right now?
Yeah, so right now, so we opened Chiefs minus 1. We had a total of 51. We are still currently Chiefs minus 1. Our total is 54.5. Going back to what we just said, people are pounding the over. And for a minute, it was 1.5 Chiefs. We saw minus 2, but right now, minus 1 Chiefs.
Okay, so it's minus 1 Kansas City. Would you get the sense that the Chief money's been pouring in, the Niner money's been pouring in, or are we looking at a game, Art, that has a chance to be a real split-action type game? Like, there have been Super Bowls in years past. You go back to Patriots and Eagles, it felt like all the public money was on New England, sharp money was coming in on Philadelphia. Denver and Carolina was an all-time split where the public hammered Carolina, and I was all over Denver. Money line spread, I took them every which way. But I think this year you're going to find sharps and you're going to find public money coming in on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, JJ, I totally agree with you. That's funny that you mentioned that Carolina-Denver one. That was one of those, yeah, public was all over Carolina. All the sharp people were on Denver. But, yeah, as far as this game goes, I mean, I could really see this where the spread, where we get equal action on both sides, and you've already seen that. Early it was Niner money. Now it's more Chief money. But I really think what we're going to find, our liability, is the over-under. Every dollar seems to be on this over. That's why the over has gone up 3.5 points. So we could be looking at, you know, let's just minimize our prop losses and hopefully the game can stay under because we're going to have split action on both sides of the spread.
We got Arthur Caesar from the link out in Las Vegas going through the ins and outs of this year's Super Bowl. And Art, there are so many prop bets that people can take for next week's game. They could be overwhelming. They really can because you're going through it. You're like, wow, I like this. I like that. It makes your head spin as the guy who's trying to research it and try to figure it out. What is the biggest piece of advice you would give anybody listening to the show right now as far as how you would handle taking care of the props?
You know what? To me, the props, and the props have grown. The props almost have become the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, everyone's into the commercials. They're into the halftime. They're in the game. But the props now is the biggest thing ever for the betting. But I always think for betting, when you're looking at these props, you know, some places, we're probably going to have 300 props. I mean, that's insane. That's, you know, talking 10, 12 sheets of props. I think you focus on pick two players, you know, pick a guy who's going to have his catches, his yards, maybe he scores a touchdown. Just kind of zero in on a couple things because, like you said, if you get into too many of these, you overwhelm yourself, you overextend yourself, and by game time, you don't even know what you bet on.
Okay, now we get to the other big event that is going to be happening, and I'm hopeful that I will be out in Sin City. I'll be out where you're at for the conference tournaments. I was last year. It was an absolute thrill. The games are nonstop. It's like the calm before the storm out there in Vegas. As far as future bets for the NCAA tournament, is this going to be as widespread, you know, a ticket count that you guys are ever going to have? Because, you know, last year it was about the Zion sensation at Duke. In other years, you could find the dominant team, Villanova 2 years ago, other top seeds. This year, I mean, all of these top teams, they're vulnerable. They're beatable. I mean, you're looking at a school like San Diego State right now that's slotted on the one line. I feel like this year is going to be absolute chaos when it comes to trying to break down this year's tournament.
JJ, I think this is going to be one of the most fun tournaments in years. The traditionals, the Kansases, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, you know, Carolina, who's terrible this year, they're always going to have a lot of, you know, future bets early in the season and during the season that were put on them. But like you said, this year, anything can happen. San Diego State. You look at a team like Dayton's really good. Gonzaga's always good. Oregon's really good. You got all these teams, and you really, I mean, how many number ones have we had this year? 7, 8, whatever the number may be. It can legitimately be anyone's tournament this year, which makes it a lot of fun.
Is there a team, though, that a lot of the wise guys are kind of zoning in on? I've heard Gonzaga, Art. I mean, Mark Few's been knocking at the door the last couple of years. You never know with them because they're not really tested throughout their conference, but they play a tough non-conference. They're a well-coached team. Are you looking at Gonzaga as a team that's probably going to be one of those favorites?
That's definitely a team I look at, JJ. Gonzaga, like you said, I mean, ever since Few's been there, they've been there every year. What was it, you know, a handful of years ago, they were in the title game. You know, they always have a shot. Like you said, though, they play such a great non-conference that, yeah, maybe they're not tested in the WCC, but once it comes to tournament time, they are so tested there. And honestly, you could still get pretty good value on Gonzaga. So Gonzaga's a nice one. And a team that I really like who's currently ranked in the top 10, their 10th, is Seton Hall.
Oh, I love them, Art. That's a great call right there. I absolutely love them.
JJ, anytime you have a chance to have the best player on the floor in Miles Powell, you got a shot in any game.
Okay, now we get to the sign-stealing thing. Did you guys consider pulling odds for the Red Sox and the Astros the minute all the stuff was going on last week?
You know what? We never did. I never heard anything from even higher-ups that, hey, we got to do this. You know, it's so funny because you're still in football mode. You're still in almost NCAA tournament mode. So honestly, right now for baseball, we don't have divisions, we don't have pennant, we have to win the World Series. We just put out our season win totals like a week ago. So it's not a lot of baseball stuff going on right now, so there was never any talks of that.
Okay, so there are no talks of pulling the totals for the Astros and the Red Sox, the Mets. And the Met total right now, what do you guys got it at? Right around 85.5, 86?
That's exactly what we have it at, 86.
Do you think that total is a little inflated because of the New York money?
Yeah, you could definitely say that. I will say this, though. That's what a tough division that's going to be. I mean, all those teams are good. Obviously, take Miami out of it, but that's going to be just a knock-around division. Now, you would think maybe Washington steps back a little bit because it's a gravy season. They won the World Series, but oof, that's going to be a really, really tough division. But, yeah, I mean, the New York numbers are always inflated. You know, even the Yankees who, you know, at 101, you say, well, how can't you take the over? But, you know, I mean, that's a huge number.
Oh, it's massive. And last year was at 94, 95.5. And when the Yankees had their entire team on the injured list in April, I'm saying there's no way in the world this is going to cash. But then the likes of Urshela and LeMayu and Ford, and the list goes on. They win well over 100 games. And I wasn't sweating that baby out. And I wonder, Art, because there have been so many bad teams, especially in the American League, have the books almost taken a beating with people betting like the Yankees over and the Astros over and these dominant teams? Because They're going to have layup games with Baltimore and Detroit and Seattle, and the list goes on and on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You throw Kansas City in there. You throw all these teams in there. But you know what, JJ? It's funny. On these futures, you know, we protect ourselves a little bit because we'll limit that. You know, you can't just come in and say, you know, I'm putting 10 grand on that. You know, unless you're a player we know, this, that, and the other. So, you know, a lot of those season win totals, future type things, you know, we'll limit the action on that. So we won't get necessarily killed on that. Yeah, there might be a million tickets on the Yankees or this, that, and the other, but we bring our liability down because we don't allow people to really fire away on that.
Arthur Caesar, Link, the odds maker at the Link. Final one, a prop bet that has been getting a lot of play with you guys, maybe a prop bet that is on your radar. Sharp guys are all over it. Is there one, Art, you'd like to share here with the listening audience?
Sure, absolutely. I got two real quick. The one that I've seen a little bit of the most action on so far is shortest touchdown, 1.5 yards. People have been taking the over at plus 145. People love the plus money. And a prop I really love is team to record the first sack, 49ers, plus 105. So I really like that one.
Art, I appreciate the insight. I appreciate the perspective. Is this going to be the wildest time for you next week going through all this sort of stuff? Or is the NCAA tournament those first 4 days, like on the scale of what is the craziest time in the desert, where is the Super Bowl ranked?
Yeah, you know what, Jay? I'll say this. Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday is insane. It's an incredibly busy day. Friday and Saturday, the couple days before, are busy too. But the way I look at that first week of the NCAA tournament, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is like four straight Super Bowl Sundays. So NCAA March Madness, that first weekend is untouchable.
All right, appreciate a couple of minutes. You have a wonderful weekend. We will chat soon, all right?
All right, JJ, appreciate you.
There you have it, Art DeCesar over at the Link.